Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Trump calls on Joe Biden to release his list, very secretly, extremely secret. You cannot know. To release his list of Supreme Court picks, right? It's only fair. Trump's released his, all 45. We know who he'll pick. Guaranteed he would pick from the list. Joe won't do it.
Nope.
Then Trump challenges Joe. You know what? He going to pack the courts? Joe won't say. I guess with Joe, you just got to vote for him to find out what he's into.
Yeah.
Or maybe her. Maybe it's her. It's a Harris Biden administration, as they both said last week. I don't know.
Vote for Joe before you know.
Right. Can you imagine? I mean, let's just I do this 50 times a day on this show. If Trump said he wasn't going to tell us who he'd appoint to the Supreme Court, he wouldn't tell us if he was going to pack it, the media would go insane.
Yeah.
But it's Joe, so it's all good. It's all good. And if Joe wants to sleep lately, that's his right.
Yeah, exactly.
If he,
Sleepy Joe.
He was out there, a couple days ago talking about he's going to stand up for the little guy and put things right and bring back justice in the American way or whatever. And I was like, wow, you'd have to get out of bed to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like this lid thing is not a small thing. And it would not be a small thing if it was Trump.
Yeah.
It's called a lid. Have you ever heard the word lid before in relation to a presidential campaign, Lee?
No,
I haven't either.
I have not.
We've both been on the air for a long time talking about watching presidential campaigns. I've never heard lid. What's lid? Well, a lid means put a lid on it for the day. Like, Joe's not coming out to play.
Oh, okay.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
He's not coming out today. He's not available. No. He's not going to have any events. And
he's not even phoning it in.
No, he's not even going to phone it in. They're not even going to phone it in for him.
Zoom it in today as we do now.
Exactly. So what you do if you're on in the Biden press pool is you wait around that morning, see if Biden's going to, is his son coming up? No, son not coming up. And the thing with these lids is that he keeps doing this as the Hill reporter, what's his last name, pointed out. Oh, where'd this go? Darn it. I was going to play for you. All right, I'll play that in a minute. Trump was making fun of him for this. He's already done it 8 days in September. 8 days.
Yeah, in September.
In September. Not since the beginning of the campaign. In September.
Do you know what LID stands for? LID. He put out a LID today early in the morning. LID means he's not going to be anywhere today. I'm working my ass off. I'm in Ohio. I'm in Texas. I'm in Florida. I'm in Michigan. I'm in Wisconsin.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Trump is on offense. And I said last hour or so that, that Biden's on defense. I'm not even sure he's on the field. I mean, if he's not showing up, he's not even on the field.
Chris just made a point there. Chris, tell us what you just said.
You said he's put a lid on 8 days just in September?
Yes.
That's one third of the days in September so far.
And we're talking about a president now who's not even taking a salary.
Right.
And Joe won't even show up to campaign.
No, it's beneath him. Well, I mean, when they're busy fixing the rules in all these states to facilitate massive mail-in ballot fraud, and it's not even the legislature is changing them, not in a single state.
And where's Kamala?
See, that's an interesting
question. Where's the vice president?
If
neither one of them, I mean, heck, last night, the current vice president, Pence, was on a plane that was involved in a bird strike. They had to turn around because basically, I think a bird was ingested into one of the jet engines, and it was a two-engine plane, so they had to turn around and land. So, I mean, that was his excuse for not being at the campaign event last night. What's Kamala's excuse?
I don't know. I think they don't have to campaign.
Are they concerned about... I'm not even going to go there. Never mind. Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Joe, we'll hear from Joe when we hear from Joe, but it's been an amazing collection of flip-flops, reversals. He's going to end fracking and fossil fuels. Oh, wait, he's not. He's going to have a national mask mandate. Wait, I never said that. Yes, you did. We played the audio. No, I didn't say it. Yes, you did. We played the audio. On and on and on and on. Are you going to pack the court, sir? Won't say. I'm not going to say. Okay. Can you give us your Supreme Court nominees? No, no, can't do that. It's like they think campaigning is beneath them. Answering the basic questions everybody gets asked is beneath them. They don't have to chime in. They're Democrats.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, do they know something we don't know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? About how they don't seem at all concerned about the complete lack of campaigning or how Biden looks to the public or anything. They just don't seem to care. And with all these, you know, with these judicial dictators changing voting rules, I mean, this is happening. I mean, you could barely keep up with it. It's been happening this week, last week, the week before, real fast, like, bam, right before the election. Oh, you need an extra 14 days to count in Michigan or Pennsylvania? That'll be fine. Go ahead. That'll be fine. Good. Go ahead. Just do that. Yeah. Oh, and you can ballot harvest them if you want. Speaking of rules, by the way, did you see the protesters outside of Lindsey Graham's house?
Yeah. Well, his place in Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think they're in Seneca.
No. I wouldn't try that there. No, I wouldn't do
not
that.
Not even for Lindsey Graham.
There'd no, some, I would not. Hey,
there'd be some real conservatives that show up, especially these days, and say, we're not putting up with this. No, no.
There's just too many people around these parts been looking for a beatdown for way too long. Yeah. They cannot wait. They are just waiting. Anyway, so Lindsey Graham, yeah. So here's how they knew where to go to harass him at his house. It was published, the address, on Facebook, which is very interesting for two reasons. It violates the Facebook policy against bullying. Specifically, you cannot threaten to release an individual's private phone number, residential address, or email, or actually do it. But they did. The group Sunrise DC and Shutdown DC did. They did it with Mitch McConnell as well. They did it with Chad Wolf, head of Department of Homeland Security as well. And they seem to be just fine. Man, I can't sneeze, I get shut down.
Yeah.
I barely post to Facebook anymore just for fear of having my account yanked over telling the truth, which is pretty much endless going on with me. But remember what happened when all of these groups, including here in South Carolina, wanted to just go to the state capitol and demonstrate against lockdowns, shutdowns. And Facebook yanked the announcements, yanked the organization. You know how you can put those, you know, meet here. Yeah, they yanked them all over the country. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't violate the policy on bullying. There was no address. See how this works?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, this is a force multiplier for the left. The social media does this, and it's just really scary the way that they can impact. They're literally keeping people from exercising their rights in terms of gathering and being able to organize. And they keep one side from doing it, but not the other. Now, look, if you want to do that as a capitalistic business, be my guest. The problem is that the very legislation that allows the existence of Facebook, they're supposed to be a neutral platform. That is what they traded for the massive lawsuit protection they got from Congress that allows them to exist. We don't have that protection, Lee.
Nope.
We don't. Your newsroom doesn't have it. None of the news organizations here have it. Yet Facebook and social media are stealing all of our ad revenue. And yes, I would use stealing because they exist only because Congress has carved out a massive legal protection. I mean, what other business in our country besides government has a shield from almost absolute immunity shield from lawsuits? No other business but social media. But the deal was, in exchange, they had to be a neutral platform. And they are not. They are actively helping to instigate the harassment of people at their homes. Lee, to me, this is a very scary trend.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the new thing. Go to somebody's home and intimidate them. How long is it going to be? These people have burnt down whole city blocks. I mean, they're running $2 billion worth of damage just through June 8th, thinking upwards of $5 billion worth of damage, according to the Insurance Institute, the III, you know, through now, they think upwards of $5 billion when all the claims are paid out. I mean, these people are going to people's houses now. These are not peaceful protesters. They have a very large damage bill being paid by insurance companies right now. Yeah. And we're publishing these addresses.
I am just opposed to this period. I do not want any groups, liberal, progressive, conservative, right-wing, whatever. I don't want anybody hassling these officials or members of the media or public or whatever at their homes. It is ridiculous, and it's going to get somebody killed.
It is. Now, if you want to go to their office, totally fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's
fine.
What we
or
used to do. You'd go to
sidewalk.
Their congressional office and go in
exactly.
the parking lot or something
but
like that.
But you stay
yeah.
off their private property. Don't go to their homes. Don't get in the roadways blocking their streets. It's just not worth it, and it's not right, and it's not going to change anything. Do something effective. That's not going to be effective, and you're going to risk getting somebody killed. Maybe if that's what you want, that's going to eventually happen, but that's not going to turn out well because you're not going to sway any opinion with that.
But this is the left's plan
yes.
for the future, to use
well, it is
the
fear.
Non-enforcement, yes, and fear and non-enforcement of the law as a force multiplier for their shock troops. I mean, we've seen this in so many places. I mean, the one that just blew me away was the LA DA, who's black.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband, who's black. And these Black Lives Matter activists decided to show up and confront her at her home. She wasn't home. He told them to back the heck up and get off the property. He's every right to do that.
Yeah, he entered the door with a handgun, which
yes.
he was had every right to do. He
because
was being threatened.
They wouldn't leave. He told them to get off the property. They came up on the porch and they're banging on the windows, banging on the door. And guess what? They were not prosecuted at all, but the Attorney General of California is prosecuting her husband for daring to pull the gun, which he legally owned.
Who was a black man, defending his home with a gun, which he had a right to have and to brandish
by
at
the
that
way,
time.
She's a Democrat, and so is the Attorney General of the state. So I'm when you see them going to people's houses like Lindsey Graham's house here, that's why this is scary. You're seeing what the left is doing. Go after and prosecute people who defend their property from trespassers while ignoring the laws mm-hmm. that say you can't trespass.
Yeah.
It's a force multiplier. That's how the left uses this, and it's how they're using Facebook. Don't you dare print the address of some liberal person and go protest at their house, but print the addresses all day long yeah. of Republicans you disagree with, and then ignore the fact that it violates your own bullying policy, which you apply to other people.
Exactly.
Force multiplier for the thuggery. That's what this is.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So did y'all hear this one? Yeah. Pedophilia may be hip in California. Yeah, while California liberals expand rights for pedophiles, which they recently just did, signed into law. That doesn't seem to be catching on here in South Carolina. Not at all. Did you hear what happened in Spartanburg? Made national news. A convicted sex offender was tackled and detained. I love this story. Is that wrong? A convicted sex offender was tackled and detained by a group of fathers in a South Carolina Cracker Barrel parking lot Sunday after a 15-year-old girl accused the pervert of looking under bathroom stalls in the ladies' room. Online records from Duncan Police Department confirmed 53-year-old pervert Douglas Lane of Charlotte, North Carolina, has been charged with voyeurism, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He is a well-documented pervert. a registered sex offender in North Carolina, thanks to his previous activities, who's been charged for peeping at least 8 times prior to the Sunday incident. You got to see the photo. I've got this article up on my Twitter and my Facebook. He's just sitting there on the grass bleeding right down his shirt, surrounded by the dads who aren't letting him go anywhere. According to the police report, Lane said he was in the bathroom because he had to use the bathroom really bad and did not realize he was in the wrong one. The victim told police that while she was in the bathroom, she noticed something move by her feet, and when she looked down, a man had his head under the stall and was looking up at her. Witnesses told police Lane tried to run past the girl's dad and other men to get away, but it didn't work out. A WYFF viewer shared a video showing Lane on the ground with a bloody face and shirt outside the restaurant. Apparently, the parents involved were in town for a girls' softball tournament and detained Lane until the responding officers arrived. See, we're not down with this here in South Carolina. A witness to the incident told WYFF that he and his son saw a man with a very bloody nose run outside and somebody tackled the bloodied man on the other side of the parking lot. I'm sorry. I love it. Okay. Witnesses told WSPA that the 15-year-old girl was not the only girl in the bathroom. Quote, "I'll never forget the way they looked after," one witness told the TV station. "They were traumatized," talking about the girls. I bet. See, okay, this guy's from Charlotte. Charlotte is where the idea that we should all share a bathroom together, regardless, and changing rooms, regardless of our gender, was born. It was born there in Charlotte, People's Republic of. I know, I'm a refugee. I will never, as long as I live, forget the, I've read so many things, done so many stories over the years, forget the editorial by the Charlotte Observer, in the Charlotte Observer, that women and girls would have to get used to seeing male genitalia in bathrooms and changing rooms. It's totally normal. Besides, sex offenders would never use that to take advantage of, oh my, here we go. Yeah, see, that might fly up in Charlotte, might fly at Target, but does not fly down here. You got to see the photo of this guy. You got to see the photo. They didn't clean him up much for his booking shot. He's still dripping blood down his face. Yeah, so he might want to confine his activities to maybe the Target in Charlotte. Pedophilia may be hip, it may be hot in California, where they changed the law to enable it, as they recently did. But it's not catching on here, at least not yet. Thank God.
There'll be no more oil. There'll be no more gas. There'll be no more nothing. There'll be no more industry. There'll be no more country. That's what it's saying, really. And that would instantly shut down all fracking and all mining immediately in Pennsylvania, sending your jobs overseas, sending your money to somebody else, not you. My opponent is against oil, guns, and God.
You know, it's never a good thing when you have to come out and clarify that you're not a communist, that you're not a socialist. That's not what winning looks like. I'm not saying that Joe Biden is losing. I'm just saying that's just not generally what winning is look like. It's like having to come out and clarify, like, no, I don't beat my wife. Why are you talking about beating your wife? But I'm saying I don't beat my wife. Well, yeah, but why would you even bring up beating your wife? You can't win. And that's where Joe Biden was. Did you hear this? Had to come out and clarify that he is not a socialist. He said, "I beat the socialist," talking about Bernie Sanders. Do you hear this?
"I beat the socialist. That's how I got elected. That's how I got the nomination. Do I look like a socialist? Look at my career, my whole career. I am not a socialist."
Yeah, see, the problem was not the part where you beat the socialist, Joe. It's where you wrote your platform with him and put his name on it. It's called the Biden-Sanders platform. You can go on the Joe Biden website, campaign website, right now and download. It's a very scary document. It says we should end shareholder capitalism. Sounds sort of limiting, don't you think? Like, I would think under the end of shareholder capitalism, they don't expand on it. Naturally, there are no details. That would sound like that would pretty much cover the stock market. I mean, I could be wrong about that. But this whole idea of, I mean, listen, think about this for a minute. This is how ridiculous, this is how ridiculous you are allowed to sound when the media does not fairly cover you or really cover you at all.
I beat the socialists. That's how I got elected.
Well, yes, you beat the socialists. The problem is you wrote your platform with one. Again, the Biden-Sanders platform. Beat the socialist. So, but then you turned around and wrote your platform with a socialist. That's not my opinion that Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Here's his Wikipedia entry. Here's how they describe him. Quote, he is a self-described Democrat socialist. Pretty clear to me. And I got like little links there to where he self-described himself that way. So this is Joe Biden trying to have it both ways. Me? No, I'm not a socialist. I just wrote my platform with one. I had to get his approval. Well, why? You beat him. Did you just tell us you beat him? So why? I mean, what? How do you write your platform with a self-described, self-avowed socialist and you don't expect to be called a socialist? It's because you're trying to telegraph that you're a socialist. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Me, a socialist? No, I'll just write my platform here with this socialist. Please vote for me. And don't call me a socialist. It's not fair. I mean, stuff these guys get away with. You're just like, what? You obviously wanted to be thought of as a socialist. Folks, I'm not over this for the second day in a row, by the way. This old AOC thing. I mean, do you realize where we are in this country right now? The Democrats in New York have announced that the Democratic Socialists have announced they plan to take New York City. I mean, you almost want to bust out laughing when you hear it, but then you're like, wow, we should take that seriously. AOC has endorsed a slate of candidates whose aim is to take over the New York City Council and turn it into a socialist city. And they flat out say that their litmus test is you must be willing to defund the police by 50%. You must be willing to just slash and cut. You just cut it. So, I mean, the idea that they're not socialist, they're openly campaigning to take cities as socialists. The group doing it, I describes the group of candidates as Democrat socialist candidates, so it's a clue. And you don't see any condemnation by the Democrat leadership, do you? See any condemnation, Joe Biden, Democrat leadership? No, they're okay. They're okay with New York being overtaken by socialists. That's fabulous. Can only conclude that. Can you imagine if the GOP had a fascist wing? And they announced, hey, I think it's a fascist wing. We think we'll take Nashville. Yeah, we got a whole fascist slate of candidates. Oh, God, the media would go wild. But it's Democrats, so it's okay. It's totally cool. And they will literally, with a straight face, tell you they're not socialist while trying to take a major American city. Describing themselves as socialist and co-authoring Joe Biden's platform. Which, by the way, I checked this morning, still on his website while he tells you he's not a socialist. It's nuts. Meanwhile, I got to tell you what, folks, sports is just, it's just gone. You are not allowed to partake in sports now without a heaping helping of socialism, Marxism, and party ideology. Did you hear what they said on ESPN the other day? This is ESPN First Take co-host Max Kellerman. And what this tells you is how insane the mentality is in these newsrooms, but how also utterly devoid of actual facts it is. He actually claimed that there are, you know, very few violent protests, but the ones that were violent, just the very few, those were right-wingers. This is what passes as fact, unchallenged, on ESPN. They will not leave you alone. You are not allowed to enjoy sports or anything else without having this stuff rammed down your throat. Listen to this.
Black Lives Matter. 93% of the protests are peaceful. The vast overwhelming majority are peaceful. And by the way, the 7% that are not, a big percentage of that, that wasn't peaceful, is actually outside agitators, extremist right-wing agitators posing as protesters in order to make the protests look bad. That's the first thing.
This actually was said on ESPN. This was actually said. This is remarkable. And you know who this is aimed at? This is aimed at people who don't watch the news. They like sports. That's all they watch. Maybe sports and some shows. Can you think of even one right-wing protester anywhere who's done what he just described? You'd know their name. You'd know their face. The media would blast it all over the place. They can't find one. What group are these right-wing protesters with? Do you know? No group's ever been named. It's like when Christopher Wray comes out and says, no, these anti-fascists who've done $2 to $5 billion worth of damage to U.S. cities. Oh, those? No, not them. No, that's just an ideology. No big deal. It's the white supremacists we need to worry about. Cool, I'm on board. What's their group's name? Director Ray, what's their name? Where are they headquartered? They got a website? Can you tell us a website? Can you tell us where their leaders live? Come on, give me one rap sheet. Give me one name. Give me one leader. I don't like white supremacists. Most of them are left-wingers in this country. You don't believe me? Go on Gab. They're all on Gab. They're left-wingers. And they're racist. There aren't a lot of them, thank God. But when they say these things, right-wingers, do it. Give me one arrest. Give me one rap sheet. Give me one name. I defy you. Give me one group. We know Antifa. We know Black Lives Matter. Oh, by the way, I can't repeat this enough times. The Princeton has expanded their study. It now goes through September 12th. During that time, according to Princeton University, the U.S. experienced 637 violent riots. 637. Now, Princeton's point is, yeah, but there was like 2,500 that weren't violent. So, yeah. Okay. Again, like yesterday, this is like saying, no, my group is totally peaceful. We went to 75 cities and we only burned 13. The rest are still intact. This is what passes as peaceful now. ESPN, y'all, I'm going to play it again. This is jaw-dropping. But you know what? There's people watching ESPN who only watch sports. And they believe, they think they're going to think this is real.
Black Lives Matter. 93% of the protests are peaceful. The vast overwhelming majority are peaceful. And by the way, the 7% that are not, a big percentage of that, which we that wasn't peaceful, is actually outside agitators, extremist right-wing agitators posing as protesters in order to make the protests look bad. That's the first thing.
Text your age on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Max Kellerman is so woke. This is the ESPN guy who reports as fact that all the violence has been done by right-wing protesters who infiltrate it. He must be getting his news from James Clyburn. Max Kellerman of ESPN so woke that he is a prime example of why sports is in decline. Now, the texter writes, what do you expect from Max? He comments on boxing and he's never even been in the ring. Well, the texter writes, hey, Tara, 2 points that can't be stressed or stated more. Trump needs to rescind Obama's anti-sue against social media and reform of media, else this media dog whistle to violence will never end and will be the end of the USA. It's going to get bad if we don't end it. It will. Texter writes, have you heard that North Carolina plans on counting ballots up to 9 days after the election like Michigan and PA? Please say this isn't true. It is. These are judges' dictates. The laws still say otherwise. So in other words, what's happening in state after state is these liberal judges, liberal election officials, as is the case in North Carolina, have just decided to disregard the law. They go into court and make their own laws, despite what's on the books. So they can go on counting up to 9 days after the election. Yeah, they changed a lot of other stuff, too. Yeah, to make it a little easier. Help resolve the cure rate. They call it a cure rate on the ballots, you know. Ballots that used to be uncountable now will be countable. How's that happen? Magic wand. You mean the legislature didn't change the law? Nope, not at all. Now they can cure certain deficiencies with ballots, like is it absentee ballots, including missing voter, witness or assistant signatures and addresses. Those are still required by law, though, but laws don't count anymore in this country. They also designated 3 separate absentee ballot drop-off stations. And, you used to have to turn your own ballots in, but now someone else can do it for you, whether you know they're voting for you or not. Did I say that part out loud? Oh, and the ballot harvesting, which used to be illegal in every state in this country, but is now catching on because it's such a great way to do voter fraud. The ballot harvester who drops off the ballot for God knows who? Yeah. They don't even need to leave a name, just an address or a phone number when they return someone's ballot. You know, the ballots, the ones without the witness signatures or the assistant signatures or the voter's signature. Those ballots. Those ballots, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is why the Supreme Court is so important right now. Because all these cases are going to filter up to the Supreme Court. Because you want to talk about creating a constitutional crisis. Oh my gosh. Because in state after state, from Michigan to Pennsylvania to North Carolina to Nevada, same thing. This isn't the law. No legislature passed this. In Nevada, the governor just decreed it with a magic wand. That is, they are deliberately setting up a constitutional crisis because all this is going to end up in the courts. Remember, what is the goal? Well, obviously to manufacture enough ballots to get Biden over the line, right? But remember, they still win if everybody's in court by January 20th. If you could drag it out, cause confusion, drag it out. What happens? The Constitution says there has to be a winner, has to be a president. What is the ultimate goal here? Take it out of the hands of voters, put it into the hands of institutions like Congress and the courts that Democrats feel they have a better shot at. Elite-controlled institutions, not even Democrat-controlled institutions, elite-controlled institutions. Take the vote out of the hands of the people that cannot be trusted to do what's right. That's what this is about. And that's why they're setting up this legal competition, because in state after state after state after state, the laws haven't changed regarding voting. The judicial decrees have. That's going to cause lawsuits. Lawsuits drag on. Sometimes past, oh, I don't know, January 20th. Too bad about your election. Yeah, we just ran out of time. We just ran out. So Congress is going to have to decide. Sure hope we have a 6-3 Supreme Court by then. Lindsey Graham can do something about this. This is why this justice must be confirmed before November 3rd. Must be. Lame duck's too late. We already lost.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.